today on Shipment from Shiloh. The local Netrunner players convene to discuss the biggest announcement in Android Netrunner history in the News Now Hour. We highlight the changes for each faction before deciding if the revised core set will be good or bad for new players and the competitive Netrunner scene. All this and more on Shipment from Shiloh.
What up, nerds, and welcome to Shipment from Shiloh, a Netrunner community podcast. I'm your host, Graham, and joining me today is everyone from the Downers Grove, Illinois meta. Maybe not everybody, but all the cool people. Well, maybe not all of the cool people, but a lot of great people here to discuss some exciting news. So today we have Matt.
Hey.
We have Brendan.
Hello.
We got Jake.
How's it going?
There's Kevin.
Howdy.
And we've got David.
How are you?
Great. This is an exciting day. We got lots of news to talk about, and we're going to do that in the segment known as the News Now Hour. Okay, today's top story. It's what everyone who plays Netrunner has been talking about for the past 24 hours. The Game of Thrones season finale. What did you guys think? I thought...
Fire!
Now I'm jerking your chain. We're talking about Core Set 2.0. Effing confirmed. This is the real deal. Are we excited?
It's a great day to be a Netrunner fan. Yeah, it's different and it looks a lot of fun. And you notice NRDB was down all day because everyone's just brewing. You know?
They're brewing.
So it's an exciting time to be a Netrunner fan.
Absolutely. So for those who are not 100% familiar, they have revised the core set and published the lists. The product's not available yet, but essentially they are they've taken the original core set, swapped out some cards, put in cards that have already been printed from the first couple of cycles, and then said that rotation will happen 3 weeks from now. So all the cards that they've taken out of the core set, once rotation hits, will be totally out of the game. They will have rotated out. Meanwhile, they've saved some of these cards that would have rotated out by putting them in the core set, which for tournament purposes will be evergreen. So initial reactions.
My head's still spinning. So much news. So many core go-to cards. The signature cards from different factions just gone out of the core set.
So I
think there's going to be a lot of shakeup that happens here.
Absolutely. You think Criminal, you think Account Siphon. That's gone. Right? You think Anarch, you think Parasite. That's gone. You think Wayland, Scorched Earth. Like, that is the Wayland card, and it's gone.
This is madness. Madness, I say.
There's been a lot of conversation about how they should be working to get new players into the game, and I think if ever there was a time to jump in, right after rotation will be it, because there's not a settled meta anymore.
Right. It's certainly not a solved meta. It's also going to be the smallest card pool that Runner will have is when that rotation happens. That just means that there's less card pool knowledge, there's lower buy-in. You know, you have to spend less money if you want to get into the game. So absolutely, this is... definitely going to facilitate, I think, new players coming in.
I mean, we've already had new players coming in Downers Grove.
Right.
Been getting a new player every week, it seems like. And
it feels great, right?
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's really great. So let's start off with the cards that they've decided to take out of the core set, which means that in about 3 weeks, they will no longer be tournament legal. There's some big ones on this list. There's some big ones. There's also some trash cards, some garbage cards that maybe were a cool idea, but never really saw a lot of play, never really panned out. Let's do this a little bit by faction, right? So let's start at the top of this sheet here. Where we've got Anarch. So let's start with the ID, right? Mm-hmm. Noise. The Noise Boys.
The Noise has gone silent.
Well, Noise is gone for a while, right? Because all his cool stuff was on the MWL, and it's by himself, it's not that good.
Right, now. Right.
And I think maybe what FFG thought is milling the corp is a bit of a negative player experience. We don't like those keyholders.
Especially with Jackson.
Yeah, especially with Jackson gone. I understand why they do it now. And plus, mm-hmm. some of her design space is on his design space is on Atlas now. So
that's true.
Yeah,
that's
so,
true.
So, I mean, an underappreciated Anarch is definitely Reyna. I think Reyna is an interesting piece of design,
mm-hmm.
and no one plays her enough, and maybe this will encourage people to play Reyna.
Right, which would be great.
Yeah, I've played against Reyna decks. Properly built, they are tough.
Yeah.
You know, it's because you have Xanadu staying, I believe.
Xanadu is now in the core set.
Yeah, Xanadu is staying. And then Reyna's ability. Yeah, I mean, 2 credits for a corp to res a piece of ice,
right.
especially if they're glaciers.
Plus, bonus points, Hernando Cortez, only 1 influence. So there's a way that you could have the ice cost level.
Welcome, Reyna.
I think Reyna got shut down, too, because everyone was playing vanilla or ice wall or super low-cost ice, so there was no benefit to that for a while.
Right. I feel like Reyna hits you harder when you got bigger ice, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am going to miss Noise. I understand why they got rid of him in the core set, because he felt like an entirely different game of Netrunner.
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting because they were Anarchs, right? They were trying to be disruptive and they were trying to do weird things and play differently from the other faction. So I thought Noise was always very interesting, but I can see how it's not always the best play experience.
But I think that is a good stepping stone to take you from the real basic core set Netrunner to the more complicated strategies that you see as you start to expand to the data packs and get into kind of a meta when you're playing other players that have more experience, because it's not always as simple as run into ice and hope you can break it. There are those other strategies that you have to account for.
There's no great counterplay to Noise's ability. It's just, do they have the money and the clicks to install their viruses?
Yeah.
If so, then you get denied cards. And the only way to get around that is through Corp Recursion, which we've learned is kind of overly powerful, if not really controlled. So.
Yeah. And there's a ton of variants in Noise too, and that's not really good for beginners.
Right.
Like, you mill 6 agendas in their, you know, in their archives, you can't do anything.
Right. And they're like, what did I learn from this? Well,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Deja Vu, we talked a little bit about how recursion can be really strong. Obviously Deja Vu was great with Parasite because you trash the ice, you lose the Parasite, you use Deja Vu to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I never thought it was like an overly powerful card, but you know, recursion can be dangerous, I think we've learned. So
I think the problem lies more in the cards that you're bringing back than necessarily the ability to bring back cards. So Parasite had become very strong because of other cards that can combo with it. Deja Vu by itself, I don't think, is really an overly powerful card, especially since it limits you to 1 if it's a non-virus.
Yeah.
It's a little too much. Like,
sure.
I mean, if you want to recur an event, you can do
same old thing.
If you want to recur a program, Anarch already has a bunch of abilities. To give them Deja Vu, to have that flexibility, you can get anything back, I never was the biggest fan. And plus that ridiculous 2 viruses thing, it's like,
right.
you know,
too much.
That's not for me. Yeah.
And that kind of can crowd design space too, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, this card by itself is probably fine, but if you could also combine it with, you know, 3 copies of this card plus 3 copies of Deja Vu, plus 3 copies of the same old thing to get back the Deja Vu to get back this card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like now you're getting into dangerous territory. Then we've got all the virus-related stuff, right? So Parasite and Medium are huge. Also, to a lesser extent, Djinn, Worm, and Grimoire.
Yeah, my dream of playing Worm and killing things with Parasite is gone now, unfortunately. But,
did it ever really exist?
No. Cypher is for wussies. I use Worm.
That's right.
I did play against an Aseer deck once that was running Worm. It beat me, and I felt so bad about myself that day.
So, you know, Parasite, it seems like a cool thing to be able to do ice destruction, but Parasite being a program meant that it was kind of easy to bring back between Deja Vu and Clone Chip, and it was much easier to lower the strength of ice than I think they thought between Data Sucker and then, you know, some later abilities too. So, and honestly, like, if you're going to be able to trash ice, then that makes ice more trivial, which means that you're going to go towards more degenerate strategies instead of true ice versus icebreakers with bluffing, which is, I think, what Netrunner should be at its best.
I think, like, cutlery is super good, but it's unsplashable, you know? Mm-hmm. And
you also have to break the ice, which means that you probably have to have a breaker already.
Exactly.
So the cutlery needs support.
I mean, now the only way to break up, to really destroy ice now, is weird things like en passant that, you know, who cares? Immolation script, which is awesome. I love immolation
script. Right, right.
And cutlery. And I think that's fair because it's supposed to be weird and tricky and hard to break to destroy ice. And it should be the way it is because it's a huge swing in momentum if you destroy a piece of ice.
Yeah.
Well, and I think in the core set, like when it first came out, Parasite made sense.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have any instant speed. Right, you had to run into the ice, they would have to res it, you'd probably have to suffer the effects, and then you could play the Parasite on it.
Mm-hmm.
But once we started getting clone ships and things like Street Peddler, and you get those instant speed Parasites and break ice immediately, even before it's res, basically, and you never suffer the effects of the ice, then it became a bit too much. And I think it's probably for the best that it's gone.
So then the other heavy hitter is, of course, Medium. Which I've heard a joke in the past year of how modern decks have evolved to just become an MDS, a medium delivery system, right? And medium is a win condition in itself.
Yep.
And if you're able to make runs on R&D very cheap by maybe destroying their ice or by getting reimbursements through something like a Temujin contract, you know, you can run R&D all day and basically win just by accessing agendas, which then means that the next time you run, you'll access even more cards and snowball. So yeah, medium being out of the game is a big deal. What do you guys think?
I think it had to go. It's too powerful.
Yeah.
And it takes the corpse so long to purge viruses to get out of the medium lock that once you got more than probably three counters on that, it's just a countdown till you lose. So
yeah,
I feel, going back to that point, it feels like sometimes even when they have a large number of counters on medium, it's such a loss of pace in the game to purge those virus counters that you're like, I may as well just let them look at five or six cards next turn.
Obviously, if you're purging, you can't install more ice, so they're just going to go back the next turn anyway.
Oh, right, exactly. More counters,
yeah.
But there was something oddly satisfying about having the runner run, access like nine cards, and not hit a single agenda.
Well,
that always made it worth it.
They see a CVS.
Right.
Macrophage just got a lot weaker.
Yeah.
Macrophage was the hard counter to medium. Right?
I'd say it's still CVS, though.
CVS also is very effective, especially because you can use it in other situations, not just locking down a single server. So both of those were good counters, but even though those counters were in the meta, even though I never built a deck in the past 6 months that did not have one or the other, I still felt like medium enabled a kind of play that let you just focus on R&D. Like, you don't have to worry about a scoring remote. Mm-hmm. Who cares what they have in their hand? Like, you're just going to focus on making that medium dig. And eventually, if you're able to, R&D lock them with medium, then you're going to win.
Yeah.
Right.
And as awesome of feeling that is, you start to kind of think, it's like, did you deserve this? You know?
Well, they are a filthy corporation.
Yeah, exactly.
They deserved it. Yeah. They got what's coming to them. So let's talk a little bit about breakers. Corroder and Yogg, two of the best breakers in the game. I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
And they're donezo. I really like this, and I'm going to tell you why. First of all, Corroder was the Fractor until Paperclip came out, at which point Paperclip became the Fractor. So although we will still have Paperclip for several more years, Corroder just proved to be so much better than any of the others.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that from a design standpoint, they said, okay, barriers are going to be the easiest to break, but they're the most relevant because they'll always end the run. And I get that, but there's also no face check penalty from hitting a standard barrier, right? Unless you get into like a Wall of Thorns, Shiashi kind of situation. So if you have a piece of ice, you keep them out, but they don't suffer any penalties for running it, and then they have to spend only 2 credits to install their corroder, which is super efficient and will break that barrier for probably only a handful of credits. Like, it just doesn't make barriers worth including. Like, that's why the only barrier forever was Eli.
Portal break with Corroder.
Right.
So yeah, that was a tough cookie.
So I like that Corroder's leaving because there's basically no way to improve upon it. And if you look at the Fractors in the game that are left, you've got Paperclip, which is obviously very strong. And then the next best one is probably Lady.
Yeah.
With a bunch of scavenges or clone ships. And then after that, you know, battering rams start to look kind of decent.
Yeah.
Do you think they're opening up space for creating barriers that have the sort of weird tricks like that we've seen in the recent cycle, like Inversificator does with code gates, where it can move things around as well as being an inefficient code gate breaker.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they could introduce some inefficient barrier breakers that also do some weird stuff.
I would love that. I think that's just a lot more interesting. It involves making another relevant choice. You know, even if you decided not to go swipsy swapsies with Inversificator, you still have the option of doing it, right?
All right, so here's a question. In the Corset 2.0, we're losing Corroder, and in its place is Morningstar. All right, looking at the cards in the Corset, are Anarchs ever going to have enough money to break barriers?
Well, so something I like about something like a Morningstar or a Battering Ram is that in exchange for not having a face check penalty for hitting a barrier, you have a kind of heavy barrier to entry. Where the install cost is a tempo hit. And I think that should be the MO going forward with Fractors. I think that's the most interesting thing to do, because otherwise barriers are kind of boring.
Yeah. Isn't Morningstar 2MU also?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Good thing we got three Dyson Mem chips in the new Corset.
That's right. That's right. Don't you worry. Reyna's going to have 2-3 link and 7 memory.
Hey, watch out. You're going to have to pay one for that vanilla.
So you'll also need support, right? Because Morningstar can't raise its strength.
That's right. Yeah. It is a fixed strength.
So the Anarch out of the box deck is going to have some trouble against barriers.
There is liberated account, so they'll have some money. But
And 11 turns later, they might be able to.
Yeah.
and truthfully, what they're going to do is they're going to pitch their Morningstar. And then the corpus is going to decide if they're going to ice up archives, because the imminent retrieval run will eventually give them Morningstar.
Oh, yeah, they have ret runs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Check it out.
Okay.
And then Yogg is gone, which I'm ready to just light off some fireworks right now. I have never liked Yogg. I'm sure that from a design standpoint, they're making the core set and they're like, we got to have some powerful cards in here.
Right.
And we can always just design around this. Like, we know that if something is 3 strength or less and it's a code gate, it's Yoggable. But that makes your ice so much worse. And they did not count on ice being such a cost to even include in a deck. So, again, if ice is too irrelevant, then you resort to degenerate strategies. And, you know, I think Yogg was one of
the contributors. Do you guys remember before the MWL when Kit would use Yogg even once in a while?
On a dinosaurs?
That's when you know it's a problem.
Yogg,
they have stealth. They have stealth refractor, and they're like, nah, Yogg is more efficient. So
break is pretty efficient.
That's when you know. maybe this card's a little bit above the power curve.
Well, as a perennial aspiring jank lord, not being able to build a Baba Yaga Professor Yogg building
is
a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, it is.
That is a bummer.
Yeah, Baba Yaga.
Weeks. Make it a thing.
That's right.
Yeah. It was fun that run. It wasn't good, but it was fun.
Right.
You know?
What do you guys think about Wildside leaving?
Indifferent.
Yeah.
Pretty indifferent. Mm-hmm. I felt like Wildside was this really powerful draw engine card once Adjusted Chronotype came out, and I was like, yeah, this is great. And you know, even before I was combining it with Faust and stuff, like I just thought it was really cool. So part of me is like really sad that it's going, but the number one reason why I liked Wildside is so that you could put it in noise, so that you could you didn't have to click to draw your viruses. You could just spend all your time installing.
You know, you look at cards like Hotel, right? I mean, if you can drip draw cards for a while, that's pretty valuable. So
maybe
Wildside was a little bit above the power curve, but it definitely, you know, it's I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So
they've taken out all these traditional Anarch tools, but they're giving us a little bit in return, right?
Yeah.
We talked about Reyna.
Force of Nature.
We get Force of Nature.
Yeah.
What did you say earlier, Kevin? Tear up your Inversificator.
Tear up Inversificator.
Because we've got a Force
Splash
of Nature for you.
Force of Nature in your kit deck.
It's only one influence.
You have 10 influence to use. You have 7 left once you throw in 3 Force of Natures.
Right.
You know?
Right. No, the numbers on that aren't terrible, except that it costs 5 instead of one. So.
Yeah. It's like, what's the worst breaker, Force of Nature or Pipeline? I mean, this is what all Netrunner players are arguing.
It's a big
about,
debate, big debate.
Know?
So instead of like Medium and Parasite, we're getting a couple other viruses instead. We get Imp and Hemorrhage. Now, in my janky days too, loved some Hemorrhage. I also feel like it's the right kind of disruption, whereas noise is the wrong kind.
Hemorrhage is good Netrunner because it rewards you for good things.
Rewards you for running and interacting with your opponent.
Yeah.
Also, Imp is staying around. So let's talk about Imp, Scrubber, and to a lesser extent, Singularity. It's our built-in asset spam protection, right, guys? Imp is totally fair.
Yeah.
I've always liked
it. It's the Purge, yeah. So it's not overpowered. It's once per turn, so.
Right.
I think it's a very fair and hard very exciting card. It's interactive, and it's right. A big threat because you can trash any Corp card with it.
Right.
Hard to recur now because Deja Vu's gone.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Right, also
true. Its effect isn't magnified anymore because noise is gone.
I like Imp with Gravedigger, which is in Order and Chaos. In Gravedigger, you get a virus token whenever you trash a Corp card.
Mm-hmm.
So Imp, you trash it, bug free, and then you use the Gravedigger to trash the top card of their deck, and you're like, ha, super disruptive. What you got?
Friends in High Places.
Well, okay, so they've got Friends in High Places.
Hey, maybe this means people will start using
Surge.
Surge, yeah.
It's rotating out.
Oh, yeah. Surge is gone?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thanks for the punk. Bye. We'll see you later. And Scrubber's built in. Wizard, I think, got really strong in the meta once we saw those really powerful assets. But because he's so good at that one niche thing, it really throws off their ability to appropriately cost the trash costs of assets and stuff. Anyone can slot Scrubber. And it gives you some game against that, but it's still a card in your deck, so it's not like an ID that you start the game with. Really excited about
that. They needed a card to combat asset spam with Wizard leaving.
Yeah, I mean, we were looking at it like, man, what are we going to do once these rotate?
I was already brewing IG. Like, not sort of,
oh my gosh, we're going to have to use that the brain, what is it? It's the Skulljack.
Skulljack.
Take a brain damage.
Parisia? Is there that other thing? Like
Parisia.
Yeah, Parisia.
In Shaper, I'll run that in Shaper over Scrubber, but otherwise.
Yeah.
Cost MU, though.
Yeah, but you're Shaper. And, I mean, when you got three dice of M chips, like, you gotta spend that MU on something. Right?
Perfect. Yeah.
They are keeping my favorite AI breaker. Darwin, though.
Darwin's sticking around. I was a little bit surprised.
Whale. Yes.
Because we just got the turtle. But the turtle is very similar to the whale.
But better.
Aumakua.
Yeah.
But it is actually a little bit better.
Yeah.
But Darwin's pretty fun.
It is.
I don't know what it is about Darwin. I think it's just using it with Cyberfeeder and just like, hey, I'm getting so much value out of the Cyberfeeder.
Yep, pretty much.
Is it value or is it just satisfaction from firing a bunch of card effects?
Why not both?
All right, so talking about criminals.
I don't think anything really changed here.
No, nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, all right, Shaper. No. So Account Siphon is the criminal definition card. Like, there's nothing else that's like Account Siphon, especially for criminals. What are they going to do now? It's gone.
What do criminals do?
That's funny. I am a Care Bear player generally in games.
Yeah.
And so when I play Netrunner, I avoid strategies that destroy the other person's work, which is weird. It's weird because that's how you win, right? But so I'll never play Cutlery, or hardly ever. It's destroying ice feels mean to me. I hardly ever play Account Siphon because it's such a huge swing. And when I get Account Siphoned into the ground as the Corp, it just feels horrible. And so I'm glad to see it go.
Well, I mean, we've got
the mining core. The mining accident.
No,
Vamp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vamp is five.
Well, I mean, Vamp is rotating, but
Oh, so we have nothing then.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Ooh. How are you going to economically pressure the Corp now, actually? That's a really good question.
Well, I think it's going to be forcing them to res and de-res their ice through Rubicon Switch and Brute Force Hack.
And Kyros McIntyre gets you the money back.
That's right. That's right. Value Town. With Kyros McIntyre.
Ticket to Value Town.
And
also,
and now you have Reyna, too.
And you've got Reyna.
Xanadu.
You got Xanadu. Hernando Cortez.
Well, Count Siphon is also way too easy to recur.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you put in three Count Siphon, three same old thing.
Yeah.
And then
Steve Cambridge.
And then you're not playing a skill game anymore. You're playing the, can I keep up the Account Siphon train long enough to, you know, win, basically.
Right.
And that takes away from some of the skill of the game and just puts it into the, you know, I'm going to try my best to keep you broke and we'll see what happens. Right.
The worst feeling is when you set up a good Project Junebug trap.
Oh, yeah.
And then they siphon you first.
So Desperado, also kind of a big deal, right? I mean, that's been the console. I have no problem with it leaving.
I think that's why. It's because it was the only console.
Right.
That if you're playing Criminal, you're going to play Desperado, and it just it didn't make sense to play anything else because Desperado was so good.
And Gabriel with an account siphon, a Desperado, a Temujin on HQ is a 17 credit swing. Yeah. So,
oh my god.
Yeah, so that going alone is good for the game.
Yeah, it's going to be weird with the muscle memory. I see a criminal on the other side and it's like, oh, turn one, I'm going to not ice HQ. It's going to feel weird.
It's going to feel weird.
It's going to happen one day. I'm just going to. Wow.
That's not going to be the first choice anymore. True.
So when I introduced this, I said that they are taking away some of the iconic cards and some of the garbage man cards.
Yeah.
And the other cards that were taken out of Criminal, although I can see why they might be interesting in a limited card pool or niche situation, they're dumpster fire cards, right? Like they're just trash. Lemuria, Codebreaker, what is that?
Codecracker.
Yeah, I don't even know what it is. I know all the cards and I don't know what that is. Lemuria, Codecracker. Ninja is a pretty mediocre breaker.
You should
breaker.
Be running Switchblade if you're running Ninja.
You could be running Switchblade. You can also be running the one that's in Terminal Directive, Lustig.
Oh, yeah.
Because it has the same numbers as Ninja, except it starts at Strength 1 and it costs one more to install. Hmm. Data Dealer, which was never really good enough. You never wanted to get rid of an agenda. Harder an agenda for just some money, and then
played an Ian deck that used Data Dealer.
But then you just keep them all on Film Critics now, right? You just put three Film Critics in your Ian deck, and then like I'll just spend a couple turns just scoring out at the end.
It's not bad.
And then Decoy, which is fine.
Yeah.
The only time I've ever played Decoy was in Terminal Directive with Jake.
No, what's that? You draw a card whenever you trash something. That
Geist.
Yeah, you run Decoy Geist.
I mean, you could. But then your console does the same thing anyway.
Well, you know what?
I'm just saying.
What?
I'm tired of this crap.
Yeah.
So then what do we get instead of all these things? We mentioned Doppelganger, which I think is a lot more fun anyway. And I've used Doppelganger in a lot of decks, and I really enjoy it. It shreds up acid spam.
Yep.
That's great. We are getting, instead of Ninja, we took out Ninja and we put in Fairy.
Yep.
I love that. Fairy's a great counter to Archer. It's one of the few good counters to Archer. And I know it's disposable, so I feel like it's really fair.
Peacock.
Peacock is...
A card.
I mean, it is better than not having a Codebreaker, which is where criminals were before this change.
Yep.
There's no criminal decoder in the core set.
What are you supposed to do?
Crypsis.
Yeah.
Or Gordian Blade.
Or Fem.
Inside job, I guess.
Yeah.
While we're on programs, Pheromones is staying.
Yeah.
All right, Perfume Shop Gabe.
Yeah.
Still got it. I mean, Pheromones is just fun. I don't know.
Yeah. Mr. Lee is that's the critical. My play style is preserved.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Mr. Lee is probably just an expensive card to get that ability, but otherwise, I think it's a good ability.
And Geist is very happy that Fall Guy
is very important.
Being saved.
Fall Guy is staying.
And plus, especially since we have a lot of resource hate in the current meta, I mean, I think Fall Guy is a fair way to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, the only time that people really hated Fall Guy was when they used it to keep their wireless net pavilions and data leak reversals on the table.
And again, I think Emergency Shutdown, that's kind of that staying is really important because they're kind of trying to push the pressure by de-resing ice instead of
still gives
criminals
a reason to run HQ.
Right.
And that is another kind of economic pressure. If you de-res their expensive ice that they just resed, then they have to pay to res it again. And you haven't destroyed their server the way you would have with...
Shutdown and HQI that is where reinforcing criminals call by now that Siphon's gone.
Yeah, so we're keeping HQ interface.
Yeah.
We're not getting R&D interface. We're not really getting a lot more in the way of R&D pressure because we're losing medium. But we're keeping HQI. What do you guys think?
HQI can bite you back sometimes when you have it installed in certain matchups. I know if you're against Jinteki, you pay if you ever decide to install that because it's a must access. It's not a may access, an additional. Yeah. So,
you know, I always thought that HQI was not as good as anything that would focus on R&D. But then I played a whole lot of Atom. And he starts with an HQI effect where you get the access to that extra card. And turns out, it's actually really good.
Yeah.
And if you can challenge that scoring remote, assuming that they rely on a scoring remote, if you can prevent them from scoring, it's a big deal.
And even if you don't score, if you see their stuff, that's way more impactful in the game.
That knowledge of what's
coming. Than seeing that they have a vanilla on top of their library.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and with Jackson gone, they're more likely to hold
the
agendas. Yeah.
So I think we're going to see a lot of Gauntlet I know that's not in the new core set, but I think we're going to see Gauntlet show up a lot because not only does it give you multi-access if they have a lot of ice, so it's got this double effect, right?
Right.
When you have Gauntlet installed, then they don't want to put more ice on because if you break it, you get an extra access.
Right. But then you combine that with the other criminal effects where you don't want them to hit HQ, like if you're Gabe or Steve or you've got emergency shutdown or things like that. So it is that double-edged sword.
And it's a power glove, so...
Yeah. Is Nerve Agent gone?
Yes.
Is that rotating? Yeah, so Anarchs, you know, they're going to have to splash.
Which I like, because before, Anarchs were the best at everything.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be. So. here's the color pie. Like, Shapers get R&D, and Criminals get HQ, and Anarchs are good at everything. So, great. Shapers, switching out Kate for Chaos Theory.
That's fine.
Great change.
Yeah, that's fine. I like the symmetry, because they've thrown out Kate and ETF. Both the identities is basically you get one free dollar every turn things that are maybe not strictly better, but it's more interesting design space.
It absolutely is. And it's really hard to think of an interesting but maybe doesn't fire all the time idea ability to design that has to outclass this, you know, almost one credit per turn thing. Like, that in a game where it comes down to number crunching, like, those number cards are going to win over the abilities. Taking out the toolbox and giving us Dinosaurus.
I love Dinosaurus.
That's cool.
I love Dinosaurus.
Dinosaurus is neat. The toolbox was just, you had to pay a whole lot to get it. Not that what you got wasn't necessarily beneficial. I just didn't feel like it was worth it for that.
I installed the toolbox once in my life. I was playing Terminal Directive. And I was like, I feel like I should be getting more than this.
So do you think putting Dinosaurus in the core set is a way to teach new players how to do jank? Is that what it's here for?
Yes.
That sounds crazy.
Well, I think it's also interesting, you know, because Anarch has those fixed strike breakers. I know Yogg is gone, but they still have Mimic and they still have Morningstar. So, like, you can, you know, new players will start to see, hey, I can put this in my Anarch deck and use it on these fixed strength breakers to get them higher strength.
Right.
So I think that kind of gives deck building opportunities right away in the core set, which is cool.
Yeah, they've definitely put deck building in perspective here, right?
Yeah.
Like using Retrieval Run to get in a Femme Fatale.
Yeah.
Or
Test Run to get in a Femme Fatale as well.
Test Run to get out of Femme Fatale too.
Yep.
You know, so there's a lot of cool stuff like that. We're getting indexing in addition to Maker's Eye.
Beautiful.
Obviously indexing couples with all the cool extra point stuff that we've got recently, Freedom Through Equality, Mad Dash. But indexing is just a fun card. And if you make R&D really taxing, it's hard to pull it off still.
Right. It's not a situation where if they play it, you're screwed.
You know
what I mean? They have to be able to get in, they have to hit an agenda, and then they have to be able to get back in. So like you said, if you have ice that's very taxing to get through, it's going to cost them a lot of money. So you might be willing to trade that agenda if it drains them of all of their resources.
Right. You know what helps makes indexing a little bit more efficient? Doppelganger.
There you go.
Yeah. Spicy Tech, you're welcome.
You can run the same server, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
I also like that part of what it seems like they're doing is making the color pie tighter, right? The idea that different factions do things. And, you know, Shaper are supposed to be the ones who are good at R&D.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as Medium was around, they really weren't any better at it than Anarch.
Yeah, now, exactly.
The only multi-axis is in Shaper.
Yeah.
And it's run-based, which I guess Medium was too.
Right, but it's also event-based, so you have to spend a resource, which is playing the card.
And it's similar, and it's a good introduction, because the other, you know, outside of the core set, we got deep data mining.
Right.
We got deep data mining. that other thing, top hat.
Yeah.
What's that other thing?
Equivocation.
Yeah. Equivocation.
Equivocation is also good.
Yeah, so it's the run-based multi-access. That's the good stuff.
So they took out access to Global Sec and gave us Dyson Memchip and Underworld Contact, and that's kind of a neutral way to get Link.
Yeah.
And I think it's better because the price of including access to Global Sec as a slot just doesn't do enough.
Yeah.
But at least Dyson is a little bit more multi-purpose.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you're looking for that extra Link, always Dyson Memchip.
Yeah. And then I love that they're keeping Underworld Contact because that helps out any kind of Link runner. It also means that Sunny is not going to be shot in the leg. That's great.
It's slow, too. It takes a while for it to pay itself off.
Right.
It's no blue moves. what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm okay with it not being
able to. I think we can all agree that of the three factions, Shaper, unlike Criminal and Anarch, got better, almost. Mm. You know, because, like, Anarch was... Mm-hmm.
Anarch got hit in the face. Yeah.
Criminal is different, and I think it's a little... I mean, you know, losing Desperado and the Count Siphon, I mean, it's big. I think Shaper actually almost got a little better.
Out of the box,
I
think so.
Yeah. Indexing, Notoriety, Test Run. Notoriety, I love Notoriety. Because, again, it rewards you for making good runs. I think it's a beautiful Netrunner design. Yeah.
You know what makes it easier to pull off Notoriety? Doppelganger. Hey.
You know, okay, so Doppelganger, the best interaction of Doppelganger I've ever thought of is you're playing against RP, and they play, they hit you with an offer you can't refuse, and then you run the central, it's successful, and now you can run a remote during their turn.
Mind blown.
Boom. RP during their turn.
Stay tuned after the podcast where Jake officiates the wedding between Graham and Doppelganger.
Do you take this Doppelganger?
So moving over to the corp side, I think, well, first I want to touch on the swap from Engineering the Future for Hasbaroid to Stronger Together.
Yeah.
And I'm going to preface this by saying, I think this is great. Stronger Together is not necessarily a terrible ID. It just pales in comparison to the magnificence that is Engineering the Future.
I needed to look up what Stronger Together was.
plus one strength to all Byroids.
Yeah, because, and I think that's testament, because everyone was just on ETF. And HB is in such an interesting design space, but you really only see, like, two or three of the HB identities being played because ETF was so dang good.
It was Desperado of...
Yeah. I mean, AOT is similar.
Architects,
but the runner needs to play into you for it to fire.
There's a lot more interplay.
Yeah, ETF, you can just do it yourself, you know?
Right. Right.
This is something that makes moons worse, so I'm totally on board.
Well, it does seem like a significant move in the whole rotation of the core was trying to downplay asset spam.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of the cards.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the agenda.
Sure. Yeah. So all the corps only have 1-3-2 now. There's that kind of symmetry.
Right.
You know, it's the cycle of over advanceable 3-2s, and I think that's really elegant.
Right. Mm-hmm. They've put in Project Vitruvius, Project Atlas, Project Beale, and Brain Trust. They've taken out Accelerated Beta Test, and then Astro Script.
Yeah.
I'm fine with getting rid of those other 3-2s. I'm going to miss the power on Accelerated Beta Test.
I love Beta Test.
The choice of whether to fire it or not, especially if you don't have a Jackson.
Right.
It's such just a... It's
yeah, now there's no Jackson.
So much part of Netrunner. Deciding, am I going to fire that or not? How much ice do I think is at the top?
Right.
Maybe you just played that... What's that card that you could have rearranged your top five right before you...
perfect! Precognition.
But yeah, I'm going to miss that power. Maybe they'll bring it back, Accelerated Alpha Test or something.
Sure.
Maybe a 4-2.
I love BBT.
Be cool.
Always be triggering. Is what
always
it's
be
called.
Triggering.
BBT.
I've had it before where I hit no ice and hit 6 points in agendas. And as much as you may try to hide it, they can see it on your face if you're playing in person. So they're like, I'm going to run archives.
But you made that choice, though. You didn't have to fire it.
That's true.
That's why I think it's interesting.
I agree. There is that risk and that reward. But I feel like the risk sometimes is so large that, especially without Jackson, people would just never try to get that reward. They would never fire.
I could see that. Yeah.
That's fair. That's pretty
fair. I mean, everyone has their ABT story. I mean, that's almost part of your play.
No, I'm the only one.
Exactly.
I'm the only one that's ever happened.
Yeah, exactly. Not me. Right.
That was crazy. As a frequent next design player, I'm really going to miss ABT.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I am a little bit bummed about them keeping the 3-2s. I was kind of looking forward to them being almost non-existent. Because A, merger.
Yeah.
Let's let that guy see some play. But also, I don't know. Like, I don't see much of a reason to include any other two-point agenda if you have access to the 3-2s. So I still think they're going to be ubiquitous. And we're going to have to see a significant power level increase in 4-2s in order for us to not always have these 3-2s in the deck still.
But it's only going to be 3, right? So it's only 6 points.
That's true. That's
true. 14 other points of agendas.
And plus, I like the design that all of them are the over-advanceable ones. Mm-hmm. So you at least have some reward if you do lock somebody out of it.
Right.
I'm wondering if during playtesting they discovered only having four twos made the corp lose more than having three, two. Especially without Sansan. Like, that requires every time you score an agenda, you would have to install it. And maybe this was just with only this new core set, but you'd have to install, advance, and then send it back to the runner for them
because
to have it.
Because the existence of 3-2s creates pressure to run, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So,
and there's a bluffing element, too, with 3-2s, that you can install it open and install garbage in your scoring remote, force them to run through it, and then, you know, you just advance it three times because they never checked.
Right. But then that would be the benefit of having a 3-1 in your deck, which now will also still hardly ever be played.
3-1s better be real good.
I mean, but we see them now.
Yeah.
We see them now already. Maybe not
a little
in Jinteki.
Knives. Yeah. I think the new
Kronos
yellow
project.
One, the Kronos project is going to be great.
Yeah. So Hasbro, they got rid of Corporate Troubleshooter and Experiential Data, both upgrades that make your ice higher in strength. Experiential Data, obviously, just trying to be like a taxing thing, and I think it's a cool idea, but the power level was kind of too low.
I think you know why Corporate Troubleshooter is gone. Because they had
MCA
to have that ridiculous informant. MCA reform.
Because they never erratted that. Right?
They erratted it. Or they FAQ'd it or something. You can't do it anymore.
Yeah, they did.
But it's still not elegant.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if we can just sweep everything under the rug and rotate it out.
I'm disappointed about Corporate Troubleshooter only because I like any effect that makes your ice subroutines more likely to fire.
Okay.
Subroutines already don't fire enough, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And Corporate Troubleshooter was one of the few ways where you can make an ice hit someone really hard.
Hey, Jake, you remember that time I killed you with the Corporate Troubleshooter?
No, I don't. I do not remember that at all. That did not happen.
good times.
I guess it's a matter of perspective.
But in lieu of these kind of mediocre upgrades, we get Ash back. And Ash is like the most fair defensive upgrade.
Love Ash.
He's great. We love him. He's fantastic. He's tremendous.
Is Caprice gone?
Caprice is gone. Oh. Ash is staying.
That's fine. That's totally fine.
Fair
that's
version of Caprice.
They also included Strongbox. Which I
love
like.
Strongbox.
I like especially because of Terminal Directive. Mm-hmm. And Strongbox with Mason Bellamy and Cider and all that stuff, I think, is really great together. So it's cool that they kept that. They're also giving us Project Ares, which is a bad 4-2.
I've never installed it.
But if you wanted to do some sort of like tag-based HB deck, you can use Psychographics to supercharge your Project Ares and then blow up their board. Just saying.
Yeah, I did lose a game when I was first learning to play Netrunner by that combination.
Psycho Ares?
Psycho Ares.
Psycho Ares.
My board.
Never thought I'd do that.
More OP than Owl.
Yeah. Green level also is big. Green level is big not only for purple. Green level is great for green.
Yeah. Green level is really good.
The green and green level is for Wayland.
The core Wayland idea is really strong.
Yeah.
I like the symmetry of keeping all of those colored level cards.
Right.
Did blue rotate?
Blue will rotate, yeah. Blue is good. I liked blue.
Blue is really good.
I was also going to point out Hudson 1.0, a secret Bioroid. I like him. Mm-hmm. He's a code gate Bioroid with two subs that say you cannot access more than one card during this run.
Love that card.
And so it was like an early anti-medium thing.
Sync BRE is better, but Hudson is has my adoration and respect.
Plus, I think they wanted to include a halfway decent Bioroid for Stronger Together.
Yeah, right.
Yep,
and the other option is like Sherlock 1.
Sherlock 1 is...
And it's pretty much not great. So
haven't you vouched for Sherlock?
Sherlock 2
sorry.
Is my bro.
Okay.
But Sherlock 1 can go.
I'm sort of frustrated that we have gotten neither a Watson or a Moriarty.
So we can
make a 221B deck.
Hey,
seriously.
We got the new set coming.
That's right. Let's talk about Jinteki a little bit. I feel like Jinteki was the weakest out of all the core set
factions. They've
gotten
so good.
And they made them great again.
Celebrity Gift, if nothing else, is so important for Jinteki.
They were so poor.
First of all, it is such a Jinteki card. You know, it should, you see what's in HQ, and then, here, come at me, bro. You know, and it gives Jinteki the econ that it needs. Because everyone knows Jinteki's problem is that it's broke. Jinteki is gonna, and now our Siphon's gone and Vamp is gone. It's, you know, I don't know what was Jinteki's gonna be scary once rotation hits, I think.
So they're losing Zaibatsu Loyalty, which in a world where bluffing is huge, Zaibatsu loyalty makes sense because it lets you protect yourself from being exposed so you can still do like traps and cool stuff. But the Netrunner never ended up using as much bluffing as they probably thought, right? Yeah. So it's a neat idea, but I think it's fine that's gone. Then we're getting rid of like tricky ice like Cell Portal and Chum and Datamine. And we're replacing it with Yagura. Love Yagura. That's
love
great.
Yagura.
Whirlpool and Mitsubako and Swordsman. So lots of cool stuff.
Each one of those cards are better than the cards that rotate now.
Absolutely.
Everyone dreams of Chum in front of Neuro Katana, but if you have that and the corpse still couldn't break anything, I mean, it's not real. It doesn't happen.
Right. It fits in the same niche where Howler did, right?
Yeah.
You think Howler should be great. Yeah. It's not. So you got to get a Whirlpool in front of Howler.
You know, I'm kind of surprised they added Whirlpool but took out Chum. Because I kind of felt like Whirlpool was designed just to make Chum better. Which is then like a double positional thing, like you're talking about, Brendan.
Yeah. So I am absolutely ecstatic that Ronin is staying.
Yes!
It's such an important card for Jinteki.
Right, because it forces the runner to interact with you when you are building up advanceable stuff on your board.
Yes.
Because if they just assume that it's all June bugs and you just leave them all out, then they won't ever check them, right?
Right.
But if there's a Ronin, you could die by not checking them.
Yeah.
So then you have to. But if it's a June bug, you could die. You can't check them. And then
you then they just die.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that might be a little frustrating for new players getting into the game if you find yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
You're dead if you do, you're dead if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Especially someone learning, like they might remember, oh, that's a June bug. The corp didn't score at that turn, so I'm never gonna run there.
Right.
And then later in the game, you see Ronin.
All the new runners are going to be digging for their infiltrations.
Yeah, because Jinteki is strong because once it got all its pieces to cover all the options, right? If you run on unadvanced, there's Snare.
Mm-hmm.
If you run on advanced, there's Junebug.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't run on advanced, there's Ronin. And if you don't run on not advanced, there's
Bioethics.
Like, there's the, you know, there's the four squares that Jinteki all cover.
Yeah.
And that's what makes Jinteki actually kind of threatening.
Work, yeah.
Yeah,
and then
so,
if they figure out that it's a June bug, now you still have Trick of Light. You can
bring
those tokens.
Yeah,
so
that's the drawback of advanceable traps, right? Is that there's such a cost to advancing them to set the trap.
Right.
But when you have something like Trick of Light or the Wayland card that lets you bin it for money if you've got an advanced trap.
I've put that in so many decks and I've yet to ever have.
Oh, really?
Not the one where you can get three credits off.
Back channels.
Yeah.
Back
I love that card.
Mushin back channels is money.
Which actually, I don't know if we can talk spoilers for the new pack.
Yeah, do it.
But there's, I think it's a new Jinteki card where it's like a June bug, but if you get four advancements on it, it's also a one, you can score it as
something
a one
like
point
that.
Agenda,
yeah.
Which is really cool.
It's a June bug, I think it does like half damage.
So I really like that design.
That's one card that just does like two of those three square things.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah, it's good.
There you go.
And then you're also keeping Hokusai Grid, which I feel like is just a staple for a Thousand Cuts type archetype, you know?
Yeah. And again, the classic way to outplay Thousand Cuts is to deny the Corpse Econ.
Right.
Well, that's not as straightforward anymore. So it's going to be interesting, the meta that's going to develop.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. So you run
how many celebrity gifts are in the new core set?
Three
of them.
Yeah.
So you could be looking at games where Jinteki has money.
Yeah,
all
I think
the time.
Jinteki went from the worst core set ID to possibly the best.
Yeah.
So NBN, if we talked about just core set one, NBN, I would say there's three cards that define it. It's Astroscript, Breaking News, and Zansan City Grid.
I thought you were going to say
Matrix Analyzer. I always kept thinking Matrix Analyzer is good.
And those are the four cards that we are losing. Those are the four cards that we're losing. AstroScript has been busted in a half forever, and it's not very fun to play against.
Nope.
I would have liked it if it was a 3-1, because it already costs so much to put 3-1s in your deck, and
people
then you can still chain them together.
3-0.
So that's out of there. Breaking news.
Yeah.
I was really nervous about losing New Angeles City Hall.
Yeah.
Because Breaking News was going to be around.
But now Breaking News is not going to be around.
Right. And so that solves not having a New Angeles City Hall. That makes Aaron Marone way less busted. Well, a bit less busted.
because you're not – there's not points where you're scoring an agenda with the hope of landing immediate tags in the same way.
Yes.
You were with Aaron broke Breaking News.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Without that Yeah, I think without that pressure, Aaron's not as big a deal.
Right.
And then without account siphon as well.
Right.
Right. It's not it's not feeding into this like 17 credit swing that you're talking about, Dave.
And then you're moving.
And then two cards.
Yeah, and two cards, yeah.
Yeah. And we'll make a 21 credit swing with
all
two cards.
All for one click.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, so ridiculous, yeah.
And then, 24/7.
Yeah.
That was the other big breaking news problem.
Yeah, because even though Scorched is gone, which we haven't talked about, but Boom is still a card.
I actually thought they were going to keep all the fast advance tools, but get rid of all the 3/2s. So then you'd have to combo together multiple fast advance tools in order to score like your 4/2s and stuff.
Yeah.
They ended up going the opposite route, which is where they got rid of Sansan City Grid, but then kept the 3/2s.
I guess it's okay. Sansan City Grid, especially after it's MWL'd, I think it forces the runner to run, and it like, you know, it encourages some counterplay. The problem with Sansan is that it is 5/2 trash, and there's this thing called Friends in High Places, and license acquisition, and team sponsorship, and any bit of corp recursion. There's not a lot of corp recursion compared to runner recursion, but corp recursion is so valuable because the runner needs to spend money to trash things. So it's,
Well, the most demoralizing was spending the first couple clicks trashing expensive assets, then running HQ and seeing a friend in HQ.
Right.
And you're like, oh, I know what they're doing next.
And a big
turn.
Grin on the core player's face.
No, I was not.
Because then you're playing Eddie Kim, and it's gone.
Yeah.
Because, like, you, and then they fast advanced license acquisition on me. Install a Sansan and Resin. It's like, well, I've been played.
Good sir.
What can you do?
Yeah.
They're replacing Astro with Beal. Also get Too Good to Be True, which is fun.
It's like fun. It. Film Critic and Aaron make it bad.
Yeah, it's also a 3/1, which makes it kind of bad.
Yeah.
Great news for Ice. Pop-up window, wrap around, Flare, I guess.
I run Flare out of Blue Sun Oversight AI before. It's a nice punishing piece of big ice.
I think Flare is not appropriately costed for a trace.
And also not in the right color.
Yeah.
In that macrophage deck, though.
Yeah.
In that macrophage deck with... Yeah.
But before they printed DNA,
Before
they printed DNA tracker, I once ran Flare and Blue Sun. It was not very good.
No. but pop-up window, I actually feel like is a really good economy card that facades itself as some kind of ice.
Perfect for beginners to teach people the concepts. Like,
yeah.
If you know where to put pop-up windows, that teaches you so much about everyone.
What is Bernice May?
She's great. Is an upgrade that says when you make a successful run on the server, trace 5. If successful, get the runner tag. If unsuccessful, trash Bernice May. So it's a trace. It's a high trace. It's powerful, but only gives them a tag. And if you're unsuccessful, she trashes herself. So you don't have a caprice situation where you keep hitting the same thing over and over again.
You can do all kinds of nasty things with her. You put her behind a data raven, and then now they're tagged, and you can close their accounts. Really nice tempo hit card.
I think she's underplayed. I like her ability a lot. I think it's good.
Yeah.
Cool. And then wraparound is great. Anti-AI, barrier, rush, all these things, right? So now we're on to the big W. We're getting Project Atlas.
Yes.
Woo! Love Project Atlas.
Such an important whaling card.
Who here has scored the cleaners?
I've
scored two of the cleaners once.
Yeah.
Oh, man. On a Building a Better World deck, they get real hesitant to run.
I used to play one of my first decks I fell in love with was Bill Brown's classic.
Force of Will?
Force of Will, that Wayland deck. I scored the cleaners, and then I double punitive. They stole my government takeover. I double punitive through two plastic priests. This is Netrunner. This is like that scene in episode 1 where Anakin Skywalker did not. This is pod racing. This is Netrunner.
Cleaners is great with Builder of Nations. I love how the Cleaners is sticking around. I really like Titan as an ID, but the thing that really makes Titan sing is Atlas. So.
Yeah, we were just talking about that a couple weeks ago. It was Titan going to survive once Atlas rotates.
We'll never have to know. But in exchange, we're getting rid of Posted Bounty, which really was just a way to – it was breaking news for the corpse so that you could install advance one turn, advance, score out, and double Scorch.
Yeah.
And they're getting rid of Scorched Earth.
Scorch.
I don't like that they're getting rid of Scorch. I think if you buy the core set, you don't understand how Wayland can kill people.
You do get punitive, though.
Yeah, but – you only get punitive by letting the runner steal something. So that So, like, in the second half of the game, Punitive is worthless because they steal something big and they win. And, I mean, Scorch is hard to land. If you're a new player, Scorch is hard to land. Learning to land it is a big part of learning to play aggressive as a court.
I feel like with Plasky rotating out and Boom already in the data set, they had to get rid of one of them.
Otherwise,
you get six of those cards in the deck.
Yeah, right. For the sake of teaching new players, that makes...
I mean, you could kill someone with Punitive, but the most damage you're ever going to be able to do is three.
Right.
Unless they hit multiple agendas in a single punitive. Turn.
Or four if you have your cleaner scored.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So there you go.
But no, that what you said does
so maybe
make sense.
One out of like 100 new players will be able to play
Off.
So here's my thing about Scorch, is that it is the one tag punishment card that can lose you the game. The rest of the tag punishment cards will slow you down and make you very unlikely to lose the game. Stuff like close the counts, like an exchange of information, like an all-seeing eye. Those will hit you hard. And if you're expecting those, then you want to play around tags. But from the beginning of the game, we've always said, if I am tagged, I can lose. And that is because Scorch exists.
Yeah.
And that contributed to the what's called the binary nature of tags, right?
Yeah.
Where either you're not tagged and you're fine, or you're tagged and you are probably going to lose.
Yeah.
So I think that getting rid of Scorch allows them to print better tagging cards, and there can be more interplay.
Interesting.
I also think that sometimes the runner will just float tags because they are not scared of losing the game outright.
So now you're teaching new players that tags aren't really that bad, and then they go up against someone who has more than the core set, and they get Boom.
Tag and bag still exists while Boom is around, but it might not always be the case.
Another thing is it might have the core focus more on actually trashing resources. I remember when I first started playing, I always forgot about that because you see Scorched Earth, and you're like, I'm going to kill them. Well, it's like, no, you could really mess up their whole strategy, though, and set them back, even if you can't kill them in that turn.
Oh, it's so frustrating when you get a runner who knows what they're doing. They run and take a bunch of tags, and you're like, now I'm going to get you, and you look, and there's no resources there.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I got nothing.
Well, I mean, the two cards that still exist that can lose you the game if you're reckless with tags is Boom and Psycho. You know.
Yeah, that's true.
So Psycho Beal, which is still a thing and should be a thing, and people should play it because clans are floating zillions of tags. Just saying.
So Wayland, which I think this kind of makes sense, especially in the core set, to not have Scorched Earth in Wayland because you can't really tag out of Wayland. Right, we all played the Wayland, starter deck where you can't tag anybody unless like Hunter or something, yeah. Right?
Right.
But curiously, they're putting in dedicated response team into core set Wayland, which seems like a really odd choice if we're losing Scorch. Like, I get Punitive. Okay, they don't need to be tagged, and you can still deal meat damage. That establishes that Wayland is the meat damage faction.
Right.
But now, like, how are you going to tag them and pull off the dedicated response team? That seems even harder to do than Scorched was.
Yeah, I guess through like a Data Raven type effect.
Yeah.
Maybe. Snare.
Sure.
You know. But DRTs are really hard to land.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I like that they're including it because I think it's a neat card. I'm not convinced it's a good card. But it's better than some of the stuff that we're losing, too. Like, Security Subcontract. Precisely one person ever played that. That was me, and I did it in a Foundry deck where I would install ice for free with an Amazon Industrial Zone, res it, get another piece of ice, and then install all that stuff for free. I had a technician team or whatever it is that gives you recurring credits for installing ice, and then I would sell it all with a Security Subcontract. And it never
You just won that runner.
Because it was terrible. So we got rid of that. Aggressive Negotiations is a cool card, but Atlas does the same thing, but better.
So hard to pull
Research
that off.
Station is like the 46th card, the 50th and 51st cards of like every deck. It's nice, but I don't have time for this.
Right.
I feel like I played it one time and someone said, who plays Research Station? Because I was just like, I want to try this card.
Yeah.
They shamed you out of it.
Yes.
it comes in helpful, kind of.
Yeah, but it's a luxury.
Yeah, it's a luxury, and there's no room for luxuries. You're getting all your ice trash because you're playing that around.
But they've also included a lot of other good toys. Lizzie Mills.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's staying.
Bye, Valencia.
She helps with the Valencia situation. More importantly, she deals with, like, locations.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a better way to deal with locations without just reprinting Elizabeth Mills anyway.
Yeah.
So being able to trash Blue Moose and more targeted cards, like if you're running, like, a CTM list and you don't want them to have Salsa Slums, you can put in Elizabeth Mills.
Grindle Refinery, though, I'm excited for because Grindle Refinery rules.
It's a cool card.
Yeah.
I don't know why there are three of them in the core set.
Yeah.
Seems a bit much. I put Grundle in my teaching decks because it's a nice, low-impact, advanceable trap where you can force them to run through your Hadrian's Wall, and then you learn that interplay without them necessarily like losing the game to a Junebug. I think it's a nice core set piece.
Caduceus teaches new players what good ice is.
Right.
Because Caduceus is awesome.
It's plenty nice to have. Plant taxing. Yeah. It also rewards runners who have Link, because if you're Reyna with a Dyson Memchip down, then you can just run through it for like one.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
I just put that on one of my decks. I'm glad to see it won't be rotating.
That's right. That's right.
I called up FFG and I was like, you better put it in there.
It's also a nice piece of ice in the NBN Making News, too.
Wonderful Making News.
I thought it was a weird choice that they put in Hive at first. I always felt like that was kind of a specialized piece of ice that you probably only put in, like, kill decks or something. But then I realized that they're also putting in Morningstar.
Yeah.
And so they're like, hey, value town for Morningstar. We're going to put in Hive. And so now you have a bunch of subs.
And also now you know what face check is.
And now you know what face check is.
Hive is really handy if you have an early Chief Slee hidden behind it.
Perfect.
So they hit it, you're like, five
and now,
subs
yeah.
don't play her. The five subs didn't break.
Oh, that's genius. We're tour guide Gregarian, Chief Slee.
Oh, no, that's the deck. Yeah. That's the deck.
Yeah.
And so then lastly, we have False Lead.
I love False Lead.
It's a good card.
Yeah.
Beautiful card. Run it in Biotech. Run it in the
Jinteki Biotech?
Because they do two things. They don't have enough cards in there, and they do two things. Maybe they gave a few cards, forfeit or False Lead, flip your ID and kill them.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
there
especially if they're doing Faust or stupid things like that. They're a little careless. You can kill them that way.
Mm-hmm.
Or Sora Ruin. Hard-hitting news. It's beautiful at hard-hitting news. It's good everywhere. It's good on...
I should make this public statement here for new players. False Lead does not work if the runner only has one click remaining.
Yes.
Very important.
I've made that mistake in the past, so
the runner
has
to be on
the
runner's turn. The corp cannot forfeit it during the corp's turn.
Right.
Yeah. It's wonderful in Jamison. I've run it in Jamison before. I install like a 5-3 or something like that and forfeit two False Leads after they take in to nuke their turn and score out.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's a lot of fun ways to play it. And I think it's just a great inclusion. It's good everywhere. Every deck it's good.
It helps against Byroids. Mm-hmm. Like if you're about to rest a Byroid, you know they can't break it.
Oh, yeah.
You forfeit the False Lead as well, so now they don't have the clicks,
and
now they hit the Ichi or whatever it is.
It's another tool for that HB, you know, remove the runner click deck that they're trying to push.
Low testing deck?
Right.
Oh, I've played against one.
Yeah.
Does False Lead also help new players learn a bit more about the timing sequence? Because you have to think about what can the corp do during the runner's turn and when can you do it?
Oh,
you're teaching people to play with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even it's just a way to like score your 5-3s maybe, right? You get a False Lead scored early on, and then you know the runner needs to click Opus twice before they can run. They click it twice, you forfeit your False Lead, and now you can score out that agenda. It'll be really useful.
Priority requisition.
Yeah.
Making a comeback. That's what's going to make blue sense.
So that's priority how you res your flare.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then they just will pay six to.
Okay, you know, Graham, I like flair. All right, let's...
Six is a lot. Six is a lot. All right.
You like Stoppelganger.
That's true.
You can run the flare twice.
Yeah.
I have a couple comments on just the numbers that they decided to put into this core set.
I don't really believe the numbers.
The number of copies that they're going to have of each of the cards. Some of them I think are fine. I understand that they want to sell multiple copies of their core set. So, you know, only putting in two diesels, for example, when really you're going to want a play set of those. Like, I understand from a company standpoint why they would do that. But then there's some numbers that are like, really, three psychographics. That's a lot. for a situation that's not going to come up very often. And you have no way to give multiple tags on the core set. They just have to float them. Like, that feels weird to me. I kind of don't like that they have three of every breaker, because, you know, you don't usually want three of every breaker. If you did want a playset of them, that's a good reason to buy another core set. But instead, I feel like they kind of filled up the core set with these breakers. So if you actually get all three of these, then cool. I have 9 mimics.
I will say, as much as I think the LCG model is far preferable to the collectible model of something like Magic, I've always found it bordering immoral that they make the core set the way they do.
Yeah.
Or that they don't. I mean, if
they don't offer a supplement,
yeah,
that will
they
just
should
give
have
you
a
three
yeah, a playset completion kit. I understand it would be commercially less viable, but it would be such customer service to say, you're our dedicated people. You're the ones spending $15 every month buying these data packs. We're not going to rake you over the coals to get a full playset. I get what you were saying about the commerce of it, but I feel like there are business choices that are also abusive to your customers. And
did you just say customer service when referring to FF?
Yeah,
I meant in the phrase of like fan service, as opposed to in the phrase of like answering the phone quickly.
That is the one product that every new player wants, is that completion set.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I wanted one. I knew anybody I talked to who played the game. Like, hey, cool. Can I just like get the rest of the cards and get this playset?
And
you gotta buy 2 more core sets.
Yeah,
sorry.
I mean, that's why Netrunner is cool. I mean, it's a living card game. You own all the cards. Like, you know, you're God. You know, you can play whatever you want. I mean, it's the skill. I mean, a lot of collectible card games, you have the world championship deck, and it's so financially unviable to get it. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, here, you know, in Netrunner, you can play the world champ deck and still lose, because Netrunner is so skill intensive, and there's so many degrees of freedom, and that's what makes it a cool game. The barrier is skill and not resources to acquire cards.
I will say the one upside, I have two of core 1.0.
Mm-hmm.
The one upside for me of buying that second to get an extra Desperado or whatever,
right,
was that having, say, 6 sure gambles means that I keep a couple decks built at the same time. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so maybe that, I mean, that's a side effect.
But still.
So you can have, you get 3 core 2.0s. You can have 3 decks with 3 psychographics in them.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
Slash psychographics everywhere.
Left and right.
I will say, though, for new players, though, I think most people here have only bought 2 cores, and that was more than enough for everything.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, the good deck. So. Yeah.
Plus, everyone's, like, so cool with proxies.
Yeah.
Right. Or borrowing cards.
Yeah.
You know, we would loan cards to anyone else here who needed it.
Mm-hmm. I have 3 cores, but somehow I have 4 Desperados, and I don't know why, and I feel bad because I probably jacked someone's Desperado on accident.
Right.
But,
right.
But Zaz, like,
now it is worthless.
Now it's worthless. Throw my Desperado.
It's funny how 2 of the main cards that people would buy multiple core sets for, Desperado and Sansan City Grid, it's just like, nope, you're not legal anymore.
And plus, World Champ decks, you know, you got all the Sansans you need now.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. With all the Sansans
you need,
don't need. Which is
no,
zero. I will say that if someone is listening to this and they just recently bought a core 1 and they're feeling kind of like a little bit screwed over by this, from a rarity standpoint, you just got your hands on some soon-to-be-rare, discontinued Netrunner cards. And 15 years from now, you're going to be like, I got in at the ground floor, but then 5 years later. But it was really cool.
Asterisk.
And you know there's going to be – people are going to make up these weird janky formats that use the old cards.
I bet you.
You know there's going to be cubes of rotated cards.
Legacy formats.
That's a really cool thing,
I was thinking we could totally cube the rotated cards, and it wouldn't even be that broken.
Something I will say about the quantities in this set is that I really like that they included 2 consoles, because it's really hard to plan a rig if you only have 1 console. I think buying 2 of this core set will be plenty for the average player.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know if anyone around here is thinking about buying this, but they do make you want to buy it because they included some new art for some of the cards, right?
Slick art.
We've seen
some, or is it all of them?
Just some.
What was the Sure Gamble art?
I thought like stuff like Sure Gamble had the same art. I thought Celebrity Gift had the same art.
That new Gabe looks great.
CT looks all grown up now. Dinosaurs has an eye patch.
Yeah. Huh. I'm definitely buying 1. I mean, just for the art.
Yeah.
I mean, I buy those, the decks they release that are like the World Champ decks that are just full card art. I buy those.
They're also useful cards. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and
until they get MWL.
Right.
Sure gamble is nice, though.
But yeah, you get the sure gambles and the daily cast. So,
jeez.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's funny because every time the world champ decks come out, they're no longer
they're
legal.
Already. And I'm glad that the first ever runner world champ deck was Poison DLR Val. I was like, yeah, that'll teach the new game how to play Netrunner.
I taught a guy how to play Netrunner. Or, like, I didn't teach him, but he had just bought, like, basically maybe $50 worth of stuff and a used core set and then the world champ decks. And I was like, cool. Well, just to let you know, some people don't like this runner deck. And then I showed him how it worked, and he was like, huh, so what's the counterplay to that? And I said, well, if you're really rich, you can trash all their stuff because they're tagged. And if you're not, you kind of lose. He was like, huh.
Yeah.
I didn't see him after that.
You know, that is kind of counterplay to any problem in life. Be rich.
Yeah.
Just be rich.
Netrunner is
that's
real.
That's advice outside of Netrunner.
Real life lessons from Netrunner.
Well, I'm just glad we won't have another Max, Account Siphon, God of War, Counter Surveillance World Champ deck in the future. So.
Yeah. I was afraid of that. I thought that's what it was going to be.
I was very terrified of that. If you want to play this game, you can play, the other person can't.
So, overall, do you guys think that this is an improvement for the competitive scene?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Just the fact that it's different. Like, even if it, I first of all think the selection, great.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really good hobby. Even if that wasn't the case, just the simple fact that the cards are different
right.
is going to make Worlds interesting. And I'm really looking forward to Worlds. Like, before I was like, okay, I'll go to Worlds. I don't even know what I'm going to bring.
Right.
Now I'm like excited to brew for Worlds.
Yeah.
You know?
Is there cards that you wish that they had included from Genesis and Spin that would make them evergreen? Don't say Jackson Howard.
E3.
I'm heartbroken about.
Yeah.
Because that enabled so many subpar, non-traditional breaking strategies.
Yeah.
Like a Quetzal, like an Overmind. Always be running. So at this point.
Well, not Jackson. It was too powerful. But I don't think any of the Jackson replacements they released
are any good.
Solve Agenda Flood adequately.
Yeah. I think
it's too possible to draw four agendas and just have your game be done.
Yeah. So this is spicy. So I was all over Facebook yesterday afternoon while this news was blowing up, and someone pointed out that very thing, Brendan, and I said, well, I think every corp should have its own answer to Agenda Flood in some way. It doesn't have to be necessarily totally equal. Like, Wayland is the money faction, so they get lots of good money cards, but other factions also get economy cards, right? Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I think every faction should have its own Agenda Flood solution. Yeah. And then one of the staff from FFG replied to me and said, Graham,
you're hired.
They said, Graham,
that wait. Staff's name, Albert Einstein.
They said, Graham, wait for it. And it's the same guy who said, it gets better when someone was really disappointed about where Netrunner was at around Gen Con.
Who is this guy? Some kind of masked FFG employee?
So I think that we are going to actually get Agenda Flood answers that are not Jackson Howard that will not be in every deck because every faction will have their own versions of it that maybe
fit
in
like
with
three
their
influence so that like all that you're forced to use your own and not you can't import other people's.
Right, right. You know, it'll be good. Anybody really sad about Personal Workshop not making the cut?
Yeah, I am. I love Personal Workshop.
Personal Workshop Stimhack was just the best.
I think Personal Workshop was too telegraphing of everything and you could just see like I have four turns before it's over. Because you could just click your opus for your turn and then start bringing everything out.
Right.
Oh, rabbit holes in.
No, I don't think
two.
Okay. You get two.
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 That's the way it was before, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, yeah.
But the ability, okay, whatever.
I think that actually was, for me, the impetus to buy my second core set was I was playing Sunny.
Some people buy it for Santan. Others buy it for Desperado. I want rabbit hole.
Well, at the time, my main opponent was my 10-year-old daughter, so my meta was very strange. Anyway.
You just wanted to crush her.
That's right.
Your daughter actually just invented double fork.
Do we still have Monolith? Or is that rotating?
Monolith is eternal.
Yeah.
Creation
and control.
And we still have Chaos Theory, so
yeah.
we can still do...
Big Girls. I've tried
Big Girls
modernizing that deck, because you remember that deck used to be really popular?
Yeah.
Okay, it used to be a thing.
Somebody played it once, yeah.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because on episode 5 of this very podcast, we talked about modernizing that monolith deck.
Oh, yeah,
and you use Laguna Velasco District instead of Quality Time, and it still, you know, is pretty iffy. So,
now, if you could only test one hardware.
Do you guys think this new revised core set is better for new players?
Much better.
Yeah, I think they just have years of experience with the game now. Instead of, you know, the first core set was based on the game from the 90s, but they were still learning when they put it out, and there were some serious flaws that hopefully have been fixed in this go-around.
Yeah.
I think the factions are more balanced. I do think it's going to be rough for Anarch to have any money. But overall, it seems more balanced, and they got rid of those terrible cards that every time a new player picks them up, like, what does this do? Oh, just ignore that. That's a bad card. You'll never play that.
Right.
And I do. Some of these cards feel like they were put in just to make sure that certain IDs that weren't rotating were just completely worthless. And to fix some other issues. Like, Liberated Account, I feel like, needed to be in for Anarch, or else they would have had money issues outside of just the core set.
Yeah.
And some of these other things, I just feel like if they didn't put these cards in, certain IDs that, while they may not be the best right now, are still played, no one would just play them because they're completely broken with these pieces missing.
Right, like Fall Guy and Geist, Underworld Contact and Sunny. Those are cards with those IDs, like, really, really.
Well, I just remember the days when I was starting to play and just the account siphon spam was such a miserable experience.
Yeah.
I think we got away from that, and I think if you were coming into the game not having that card is great. It also lets them open up to coming up with something better, like the mining accident removes itself from the game, which probably what account siphon should have done.
Yes, absolutely.
We talked about, you know, how this works for new players. I think this is also really exciting for some of those players who maybe got out of the game in some of the Dark Ages.
Right.
There's this huge shakeup, removing all of those negative cards, like you're talking about, Dave. So I think this is going to bring back some players who maybe stepped away from the game for a little bit.
Yeah. You know what might actually be fun? Buying the new core set and then actually just playing only with core set cards.
That'd be cool.
How it compares to the original one.
And Matt, those players who haven't been around for a while, they already own all these cards.
Exactly.
Because assumedly they still have Genesis and Spin.
Right.
So this is a very clever way to fix a lot of problems in one fell swoop. And I really applaud FFG.
I can't believe it's actually here. It's real. It's like I'm dreaming.
Right?
This is a mythological thing.
Get hype. Yeah, it's real.
And I'm so glad it's not Netrunner 2.0. You have to buy new cards like the
Yeah.
They changed the size of the cardboard.
Right. Oh, no.
That weird Japanese cardboard size.
Yeah,
Turbo cards.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great time to quit the game.
You have to buy L5R first, and then it comes with a compatibility kit.
Well, gang, thank you so much for tuning in. Guys, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I really appreciate us hanging out and doing this. This is great. So big thanks to Matt.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And Brendan.
Thanks, Greg.
And Jake.
My pleasure.
And Kevin.
Thanks, it was great being here.
And David.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, man, this was great. You can find us at least twice a month at shipmentfromshiloh.podomatic.com. Thank you so much to Foundation for the amazing theme music. Thank you so much to Fair Game of Downers Grove for letting us record here. We really appreciate it. We love the favorite local game store. And this has been Graham Carlson signing off for the night. Stay safe, New Angeles, and join us next time on Shipment from Shiloh.
Candy though,
I do. It's awful. I tried it. It's like caramel thing, but it's rock hard.
These are off brand Tootsie Rolls that have not been touched for like years. So it's
I still want to try one though.
Yeah, sure, go ahead, try. We're like Werther's originals.
A little bit. It's like that same texture.
So just so you guys know, this discussion about these candies is going like at the end of the podcast, like after the music, right?
Coffee Rio. Sponsoring today's podcast.
This is delicious.
Fake ads to make us seem more, you know, more legit. Like, so guys, so recently I've been trying this thing out called Blue Apron.
Blue Apron, tell me more.
Wow. brought to you by Blue Apron. Local ingredients, perfectly portioned.
Let me tell you, if you use the code Graham.
If you use the code 3 to trash.
Trash.
Doppelganger.